Good morning, this is Ballarat Today on 3BA. Since 1999, Tony Knight has been helping dog owners right around the planet solve problem dog behaviour. He's got no shortage of customers in our city either. Tony Knight, great to see you once again.
Thanks, Brett. Good morning. It's good to see you.
Nice to have you on the program. You'd be pleased to know after we spoke about destructive behaviour last time that I didn't need to snob you in the street at all. So
good. Yeah, good. That's nice.
Thank you. I thought you'd be happy.
Hope I didn't force you into doing that.
Not at all. We've got a fascinating one to have a chat about today, and that is selective hearing. Now, as a husband, I've got at times a very good dose of that, but we're talking about selective hearing in our pets. Is the example you'd like to give about, say, you call your dog back, and times one, two, and three, the pooch comes back beautifully, then time number four, they completely ignore you. What is going on?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, as I say, I call it selective hearing because dogs, they can hear. You know they can hear, and yet they just seem to pretend that they don't.
Yeah, they're very good at it.
And yes, when you've got a dog doing this, again, it's the idea in the dog's head of, what's my role here? When we're outside in the big, wide world, what should I be doing? And if a dog believes it's the one that makes decisions, that's responsible, it could be out there going, well, I've smelt something or I've seen something and I'm going to go and do something about it. And if we call them back, if we are not the leaders in the dog's mind, the dog goes, well, what do you know?
That's a bit of a problem if you're not the leader, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Because if you've got a dog that thinks it's responsible for us in a world that we understand but they don't. Yeah. I mean, you know, dogs in Ballarat don't even know what Australia is. You know, so they're at a disadvantage.
Yeah.
So they're using their instincts to try and make sense of the world around them. And the other thing that we do when we're taking our dogs out into the big wide world is we're really sticking them in a pressure cooker where they're surrounded by lots of things that they don't understand and other dogs, where usually if they were canines in nature, they'd be well away from all of that, including other dogs. So you've got a lot of decision-making out there. You want the dogs to think that you're the decision-maker, not it. But a dog that runs off and won't come back is basically thinking, I'm a pack animal and I'm going over here. Now, various tactics that people will use is they will shout after the dog and scream after the dog, and then the dog finally comes back.
Mm.
But the dog doesn't come back thinking, oh, I hear the dulcet tones of my human's voice. I'll just, it's like, oh, well, then I can't leave the kids for 5 minutes. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, yeah.
And then, of course, some people, when the dog comes back, give the dog a smack. Don't you do that again. And then they wonder why the dog is reluctant to come back the next time, because we've created a bit of a negative association.
Yeah.
Another thing that people do, and I understand this, it's a human reaction, is my dog's out of control, I better go and get it.
Mm.
And they run after the dog. Now, if a pack animal has gone in a direction, what it will do at a certain point is look and see where the rest of the pack is.
Mm-hmm.
And if it looks behind and the rest of the pack is following it,
it's doing its job, isn't it?
It's going, great, fantastic.
Yeah.
I've done some dogs, what they'll do is they'll run off, owners will call after them and then start to chase the dog, and the dog will stop. And the owner will go, oh, thank goodness, my dog stopped. Mm. They get right up to the dog and the dog carries on. And the dog's going, everybody together, will you hurry up?
Yeah, okay.
And so that's not what I do with my dogs. Now, the two tactics I have for dogs with separation anxiety, you can start in the house and in your garden. And the first thing is, does your dog come to you when you ask it normally?
Mm.
Because there are some dogs out there, and I've met them quite recently, where you call the dog to you in the house and it goes, no, I'm not coming to you. Now, if that dog doesn't come to you in the house, you're not ready to let it off outside yet.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can do some practice in the house or in the garden.
It's a big red flag, isn't it? If it's not working at home, don't do it in the dog park.
Absolutely, but some people think they've got to.
Yeah.
And my message to people is you don't have to. You know, I always say walking a dog is like learning to drive a car. It's a very good idea to start somewhere quiet with no distractions so you can get used to the controls. Don't think, I've never driven before, Melbourne CBD at rush hour, let's see what happens. But so many people do that because they get caught in this whole idea that we've got to exercise the dog. Let's give the dog some mental stimulation as well and make sure you're in control of the vehicle.
Yeah.
So I always, you know, say recall work is a great thing to do because, you know, if you can call your dog to you, and it doesn't matter what word you use. You could say heel, beel, feel, hat stand, cucumber, underfell. It doesn't matter. You just say a sound, the dog comes to you, and it gets a positive thing.
And repeat.
So the dog goes, coming to you is a good thing. Excellent. I've stored that one.
Yeah.
Now, if you get to the stage where you're happy with your dog at home and in the garden, whatever, and then you think, I'm going to let my dog off the leash, and you can practice that as you're out walking around, turn away, call your dog to you. If it comes to you, great. But if it doesn't, it's counterintuitive. But what I do with my dogs is I walk in the other direction. And if my dogs don't come to me, I want to give my dog a very clear signal. And the clear signal is, you can go over there, pack animal, but I'm going over here, so now you're on your own.
And they're worried about that, Tony, because you're the leader of the pack. Just back to that point you made at the top of our chat, if you're not perceived as the leader, how do you turn that around?
Well, this is where what I do is, people get my e-books or I come to their houses and give them all the information. I do the classes to show the dog in the way that makes sense to it. You can trust me with the big decisions. But while you're training a dog, to get the idea, you can still do that, give them the right information in a place where you feel in control of the situation, like your house or garden, for example. But even if the dog doesn't quite perceive you as the leader, if it runs off in a certain direction and you turn and you walk in the other direction, you've given your dog a very big ultimatum.
Yeah, okay.
As a pack animal, if you don't come with me, you're on your own.
Mm.
Now, we are pack animals. We're, group animals as well, human beings, because we find safety in numbers. So if you're on your own, you feel more vulnerable. So this is no idle threat you give a dog by walking away. You're basically saying your life could just get an awful lot harder. And then the key here is when the dog looks around and goes, oh, where are you going? And comes back to you, don't say anything to your dog.
Okay, so no praise, no reward, just get on
because
your walk.
There's a difference between the dog coming back when you ask it to and when it feels like it. My attitude is, what time do you call this? Yeah. And the reward for the dog is you're back with the pack structure. Your life is a lot easier now.
Mm.
And so I don't tell the dog off either. It's just with me. Mm-hmm. Then what I can do is I can put the leash back on the dog because it's lost the privilege of being let off.
Mm.
But if you've got a dog that you say you put it in the garden, and typically dogs will do this, test people when they're at their weakest point. For example, people let their dogs out last thing at night just before they go to bed.
Yep.
And the dog goes in the garden. And then they call the dog in. The dog goes, nope, ain't coming in. And what the people do is they go out and get the dog.
And yeah, so been there, done that.
So who's gone to the – so who's made the decision? So what I do is I say plan ahead. If this is your problem, let your dog out half an hour before you're going to go to bed.
Mm.
And then call your dog in. And if the dog goes, nope, I'm staying out here, shut the door and leave it there for 5 minutes to think about that consequence.
Tough love, Tony Knight.
But it's so the dog thinks – I've got to listen to you.
Mm.
So this is not being, a rat bag to your dog. It's just showing the dog, I'm the decision maker.
Yeah.
Your job's to come with me. And if you do, great. If you don't, well, there's a consequence. So it's like, one of the worst things we do with dogs is go to them, you could be on your own if you don't, come with us. But if it starts in the garden, practice there. And once the dog's got it there, then you're ready for outside. But don't go pushing this. Don't go rushing it.
Again, Tony, it's about thinking like your dog, isn't it?
Absolutely.
We just think of them as little fluffy humans with four legs.
Yeah.
It's wrong. It doesn't work, as you keep proving every time we chat.
And I've said it before. We don't think the same way with cats. Cats can get away with murder. I'll keep saying it.
You are quite right. One more question before we let you go. If you're not perceived as being the animal's pack leader for, quite a number of years, maybe you've had this animal for some time, is it too late to turn that around?
The great news is it's never too late. I mean, I've worked with dogs who have been 10 years or even older. And when you start using their language and you start showing them in a way they understand that they can now finally rely on the humans, there are some dogs out there that go, oh, at last, I can retire.
Finally stepped up and shown some leadership.
So, yeah, it's never too late, which is great.
Yeah, okay, that is really good to know. Make a start today. If you'd like more details, go to this guy's website. It's fascinating stuff, TonyKnightDogListener.com. Tony, catch you next month.
Always a pleasure.